Hi, everyone. I just wanted to thank all of the supporters of the show and give some belated birthday shout-outs. A very happy birthday to Susan King, Annie Quinn, Leah Mitchell, Susan Holland, and Angela Bowden. For Patreon supporters only, I am going to be releasing a new episode every week up until the new year. Thanks to the help of so many of you, I've been recording and getting a lot of episodes ready for release. Even though I have not announced it, not officially, a new contest for only Patreon supporters is now live. It is a beautiful autographed Beatle bag that was generously donated by Charlotte Stewart. Everyone who supports the show is already entered to win, and thank you so much for supporting the show. It is a tremendous help and is used towards all of the costs associating with having this podcast. Enjoy the show. Correctly, and sometimes it doesn't. Hi, this is Mark, and this is Walnut Grovecast, and I am on tonight with Leah Mitchell. How are you doing, Leah?
Hey, Mark. How's it going tonight?
It's going really well. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on here. We had so much fun last time that we had to do it again.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking me back. This is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love doing the show with you because it's well, one, we kind of come from, like, a similar music background, I would say so. And so I think immediately I expect you to get all of my, you know, wise-ass jokes and everything. So. And you do, which is what's
and
awesome.
And I do, yeah.
Tonight we are reviewing an episode of Little House on the Prairie, of course, from Season 7, Episode 16. Do you want to share the title of this? Gem.
Yeah, tonight we are doing Goodbye, Mrs. Wilder.
How sad.
Yes.
This is where hot-headed Laura basically abandons her kids. So, you know, this is, I don't know. This era of Little House is very fun to me. I don't know why I like it so much more than the earlier episodes, but at this point, it's kind of like, the characters are developed, they're having fun with it, and everything seems to just be rolling along.
Yeah, Mary's no longer in here, right? Is she gone by now?
She's not in this one.
She's not in this one. We're fine with that.
I wonder if she would still get paid even though she doesn't show up on camera.
I don't know. I
wonder how that worked. Probably not. I mean, she wasn't even in the credits, right?
No. Oh, and speaking of credits, did you notice that Kathy McGregor is credited as the guest star of the show tonight?
No, I did not notice that. That's interesting.
Weird. She's not part of the town. She's the guest star.
Huh. I wonder why. I wonder what that's all about.
I don't know. And so I looked at the episode before and after, and she's in the town. But for this one, she's the guest star tonight.
Huh. Yeah. The one before was Make a Joyful Noise. And the next one is Sylvia. Oh, my God.
I'm looking forward to that one, actually.
That one, we might have spoken about this. I'm not really sure, but you're on the list if you'd like to. I'd like to do a roundtable discussion with that. It's not going to be a funny one. You know, I mean, we know Sylvia.
Yeah.
And the feelers are out there to actually get Sylvia on the show. So we'll see. Oh, we'll see where that goes.
Nice.
She's a lot cooler these days than pretty much most of the cast. I don't know if you followed her career much.
No, I did an IMDb on her probably about a month ago when you were telling me about the other movie that she was in.
Olivia
Oh.
Barish. Yeah, that was Tough Turf.
Well, sure. And I haven't seen all of it yet, but I've seen some of it and I love it.
Oh, you haven't watched all of Tough Turf yet?
No,
Gotta
I've just been
watch it.
watching it on YouTube. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, over at VHS Rewind, we're doing a Spaderthon this
I
summer.
saw
So
that. Yeah.
Less Than Zero is next. We're going to do
I have that
Mannequin.
one.
Have you ever seen
Oh,
Mannequin?
I just bought Mannequin that just came out in the mail 2 days ago.
Mannequin and there's another one. I forget what it was. But
Okay.
yeah, there's something about James Spader that I find very entertaining, and I kind of wish, like, you know how like Johnny Depp has a band and it's really bad, and all these rock stars get, I mean, all of these like kind of movie stars become these fake rock stars.
Right.
James Spader would be the ultimate, I guess, douchey rock star.
He would be a great douchey rock star.
Yeah, he would be, right? I can totally see him, like, kind of like Phil Collins type of attitude.
Yeah.
We can
Yeah,
hope so.
you don't know what he's thinking because you cannot read that guy's face.
No.
It's like, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? But he's almost always a bad guy.
But yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of it. The New Kids we just reviewed, which is in, it's bananas with Lori Loughlin and a bunch of other people nobody's ever heard of, actually. And yeah, Lori Loughlin's like 18 years old or something like that in this. And let me just say, there's dogfighting, and they're attacking Lori Loughlin in a similar way that Sylvia was attacked, and
Oh,
pouring lighter fluid on her. But I'm not going to spoil the end. Crazy
yeah.
movie for 1985. Crazy movie.
Oh, no.
So, all right, back to the 18.
Yes, back to the 1800s.
Back to the world of Dabs Gear. I'm Greer. This aired on February 9th, 1981. This is oh no, it didn't. That's Sylvia. I'm sorry.
No, February 2nd.
Yes, February 2nd, 5 days before my birthday.
Nice.
I would have been I guess eight
Yeah,
on
eight.
this.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
And I did not see this episode on February 2nd. I probably didn't see this episode until many years later. So, all right. I say we jump right into our first clip, which is a bunch of kids that we've never seen before, as per usual, right?
Her, yeah. We got Carrie in
A
there. That's it.
lot of blonde kids,
I did notice that, yeah, the second row, those two girls.
Yeah, like it was like, what are these two doing? Who are they related to, I wonder?
Yeah, I think the same thing too. And I'm always looking out for Jeff Spigoli. It's like, where is he? He's in there.
He's hanging out behind the whole school. He's like, I'm too cool to actually go. So there's an unruly class, and let's listen in. Whoops.
What's the matter?
Somebody hit me with a spitball.
Willie.
I didn't do nothing.
Anything.
I didn't do that either.
Willie, I'd like just one day to go by without you having to learn from that corner.
Yes, ma'am. But why do we have to study New York City? We'll probably never go there.
In case you do. In case you go anywhere outside of Minnesota, you have something besides total ignorance to take with you.
Whoa, that's a pretty dark statement right there, Laura. Pump the
Yeah.
brakes.
Yeah, I think she came in with an attitude that day.
Yeah, she's not having a good time here. It's probably very warm.
Yeah.
She's thinking,
Yeah.
all I want to do is go home and make my husband a nice meal. That's
Right. That's all she's thinking.
somebody handed her this recipe. It takes a long time to make this recipe, and she just doesn't have the time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, she seems kind of, I guess, colicky the whole time. Like, she's kind of grumpy and very not like Ma in this particular episode.
Yep.
Like, be more like Ma, I think. So here she is. She's working in the kitchen because, and this is another thing I was thinking of. Do you know if this is after they tried to have a baby?
That,
Or
you know what? I'm not sure.
because it just seems weird that she's working, she's married, and there's really no, For Little House on the Prairie, it would seem that she should be pregnant by now. That's all.
Oh yeah, like right after the honeymoon.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure. I'm gonna look at the I'm not sure of the timeline right now. I should have a timeline in front of me, right? On a whiteboard.
You don't?
No, I should though.
Oh yeah, we need to get one day.
Right. Here she is about to blow up at her best friend.
Come on!
Mary, could you please not slam the door that way?
Sorry. It sounds like you had some kind of a day.
You want to know what kind of day I had?
Don't slam the door, but I'm going to smash down the salt and pepper shaker, and I'm going to do it all. And she dropped that frying pan 10 times harder than he slammed that door.
Yeah, she did. All right. Poor Alonzo.
Yeah, right? Come on.
No idea what he was walking into.
All the guy wants is to see Beth, and that's it. And this is what all he comes home to.
It makes me wonder why I ever wanted to be a teacher in the first place. Where are all those shining faces filled with the excitement of learning? What makes otherwise intelligent students suddenly become rude, unruly, and stupid? What has turned teaching into an exercise of force feeding?
That sounds pretty bad, all right.
The worst of it is, Mrs. Olson brings a representative of the school board in to watch me be made a fool of.
So what we had missed is that's exactly what Harriet did. She brought in, I don't know. What do you think this guy's job is? Just to evaluate classrooms?
Yeah, so he's from the Board of Education.
Yeah.
And he's there to evaluate the school for an improvement program.
Which you could just look at the school and realize it needs improvement. I mean, it's not that big of a surprise.
Yeah.
And the problem is that she was asking questions that were relatively easy kind of questions, like how many boroughs are in New York, or what are the different sections of New York City called, or Manhattan? And nobody knew. They didn't know they were called boroughs. And it was one of these things that is pretty elementary. And she was embarrassed in front of this person who was evaluating her class, which is pretty sad, I guess. You know, it's kind of... but so Harriet basically goes in front of, I don't really know, just the townspeople to vote on this. I'm not 100% sure who these people represent.
Like their, I don't know, I guess it's their version of the PTA.
It could be, but, yes. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yes.
Yeah. So it's Doc Baker and Pa.
Doc Baker, who doesn't have a kid there.
Who those other two people are.
And, you know, normally when we have a meeting about the school, there are so many more people, right?
Yeah, you think the parents would be there, yeah.
You think? You think there'd be a lot of blonde-haired parents.
A
no.
lot of, yeah.
A lot of Swedish parents. So here's Harriet basically, just basically talking about the kids.
Chairs and equipment and new textbooks.
What does Mr. Stoller object to?
Well, he feels that the teaching of the three R's is just not adequate anymore.
What kind of subjects do you think we should add?
Well, art appreciation for one thing, and French.
Art appreciation and French?
Then there's the matter of the dress code. Why, some of the children come to school looking like common little beggars.
Mrs. Olson, the children you're referring to come from desperately poor families. Now, their clothes may be in tatters, but at least I make sure that they're clean tatters.
Yes, I'm sure that you do.
Now, I do know something about art appreciation, but I can barely grasp the basics of French.
Well, I can most certainly coach you.
I love that. Well,
being as nice as pie.
Right. And Laura's just like getting heated and heated and heated. So,
yeah, she's going to blow.
Also, if you look at these children who are sitting there, it was a pretty bad example to say that they look like paupers or beggars.
Common beggars, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was a little bit, ill-conceived. But so it kind of accelerates and things kind of get a little bit more heated. So here's kind of the crescendo. Or approaching the crescendo.
That's a good point, Harriet.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. Can you imagine Willie taking on two more subjects? He'd be in school the rest of his life.
It would be too much for any of the students.
Well, properly taught, I'm sure that they could manage.
Properly taught?
Yes, indeed. Now, perhaps you have forgotten, but I do possess a teaching certificate. Of course, I married Nels. I would have had a very important career otherwise. But I certainly am qualified to judge teaching capabilities.
And mine are lacking. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, if today was any example...
Harriet, that's not fair.
No, Mr. Olson, we did have a bad day.
To say the very least.
Oh, man. Harriet has some serious lines in this. You know, it's great. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of conflicted here. French is insane for this community. But art appreciation is something that I guess can be somewhat taught. It's not that important, actually.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't have, like, a lot to learn. Like, but yeah, a foreign language for these poor farm kids.
Now, you know what's weird is I think my son's going into sixth grade. I always talk about my son on the show. And I think in seventh grade, he has to choose a foreign language. I could be wrong. Could be ninth. And in our school district, they offer Spanish, just like everywhere else.
Yeah.
Spanish. They offer Hebrew. They also offer Mandarin. And there's another one. I forget what it was, but it was not Italian. It was no. You know what? It was French.
Okay. Yeah. Back in our junior high days, it was Spanish or French.
It was a Spanish, Italian, French for me. And if you know, depending on the year, because I remember one year they did offer some other language. I forget what it was, but I didn't. I stuck to Spanish. Cannot speak any of it, but I was in honor Spanish. I squeaked by, I guess. I don't know. But it's just kind of crazy. You know, now it's like they're really teaching these really difficult languages. I just can't imagine. And my son's like, I want to learn Mandarin. And it's like,
yeah, that one's crazy. Yeah. I don't know how often you're going to need Mandarin.
Well, it is very useful. Well, I don't know. For an 11-year-old kid, he talks a lot about wanting to get into architecture. And okay. He plays around with, like, AutoCAD. And he does play around with these graphical programs and everything, and it's just one of these things where, all right, if you really have an interest in this, then I could see Mandarin being useful in architecture, if you're, you know, depending on who you're working for, but right. We'll see. I don't know. I might want to I might want him to, you know, kind of decide on an easy pass. If you really want Mandarin, you take private lessons in the future.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're continuing to argue, but I think that most people would pretty much agree that French is really something in the late 1800s as being something that really wouldn't be used too often. I mean, the closest you're going to get to using French is Canada, I would say, right?
Right.
Which I think they even reference later.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember that. I mean, they are on the... Are they on the border of Canada?
Nowhere near. No. I mean,
no. Why am I thinking? Yeah, I'm thinking South Dakota.
But yeah, I mean, they basically would not be using this in Canada.
Right.
Or ever go to Canada for that matter. So here we are. Laura's just getting really pissed off at this point, and she's falling into the trap of not being like Ma, essentially. So here we go.
Oops.
Guess we have to accept majority rule, don't we?
Yes, I guess we do.
Mrs. Olson, are you sure that one teacher can handle this schedule?
That laugh. See,
very vicious.
Oh, wait, God, I have to take the screenshot. It's just, it's like the most villainous face and Laura just looking at her. All right, so Laura's going to just slam it.
Yes, of course.
Good. I wish you luck.
What?
Because I quit. Ladies and gentlemen, meet your new school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
music is very witchy. Like, rah, rah.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a lot of fun. I think the five people who they just basically get up and walk out, not responding at all. It was the weirdest thing.
We don't ever see this side of Laura.
I think we see this side of Laura pretty often.
Yeah.
Hot tempered Laura. What about when when Almanzo was talking to that blonde girl?
Oh yeah.
another blonde causing trouble in Walnut Grove.
Yeah.
and you know, she's fighting in front of the schoolhouse. That was pretty, you know. I don't think it's that uncommon for Laura to have these type of this craziness. Now, one of the craziest things I think in this episode is that Harriet, she does take over, but she's going to run the school with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about like what one of her number one rules is? That's not so popular.
What is her number one rule about the dress code?
Yes. I wanted to know if that would be something that you would have issue with.
those poor kids, like how are their parents going to pay for the socks?
stockings.
I have Pa stressing out over how he's going to pay for the uniforms here.
Well, you know, he does have to purchase two new uniforms at this point.
Yeah.
And stockings and everything. And where would you buy all this stuff? The mercantile.
Mrs. Olsen's. Yeah, exactly.
And so she even has inspection where she looks at them and makes sure it's all, you know, properly done. One girl has to, you know, just very embarrassingly say, my parents don't have enough money to complete the uniform. And what does she do? She offers her credit right on the spot.
Right. And she's just so sweet about it, too. She definitely has two sides.
She seems to have mixed her business side into her education, her curriculum, rather.
Her new career. I don't remember her ever having a teaching license.
I think she's referred to it in the past.
Okay.
I could have sworn it that this topic has come up before with her. I'd have to look into it, into the archives. But here we go. This is a little bit of a sampling as to what can be expected in a Harriet Olsen classroom.
Now, we're going to begin.
Excuse me.
Yes?
James Parker.
Oh.
My boy Ralph here is starting school today.
Ah, oh, Mr. Parker. And Ralph? How come everybody's dressed this in? Because I require it. I ain't getting up like that.
You do as you're told.
Looks dumb.
Mind your mouth, boy. I'll be putting a fist in it. He'll have the proper clothes tomorrow.
Oh, very good. If you'll just take a seat right back there in the last row, Ralph.
Another blonde. Mm-hmm. With his Dutch boy haircut. So... So it's just kind of funny how he's like, it looks dumb. I love the honesty.
And then Pa threatening to put a fist in his mouth.
Yeah, was that Cole Parker? Was that his name in this?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of things. He's somebody you might have seen in a bunch. He's like a kind of a character actor.
So I did look him up. Oh, okay, so I only saw him. So he's in Parks and Recreation. He plays the hairdresser. He's South.
Oh, yeah, that's where I know him. All right, I could not place him, but yeah.
And well, that's the only thing I would have recognized him being, and that's the only thing I wrote down.
I'm looking here, and I've seen him in a whole bunch of things, including the TV show Supernatural, which I just started watching about a month ago. Mm-hmm. But a lot of little roles, you know, thing you really don't recognize him. But I think he is one of those kind of looks that sticks.
Oh, yeah.
He also plays Harlan on Little House on the Prairie and in the two-parter As Long as We're Together.
Okay.
And that was 3 years prior to this. So, and what is that one? That one is Where Mary Goes to Teach at a Blind School.
That's right, yeah.
And that's where, essentially, that's where Albert comes to live with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty, you know.
You know, yeah.
But there's something about this guy. I, for whatever reason, I know there's a few things I've seen him in, and I think that even IMDb is a little bit incomplete with what exactly he's been in. He'll pop up, and I'll be like, yes!
Yeah.
So the next, you clipped a bunch of great things, and I just wanted to say, well, thank you, but also I wanted to say the next one is a really strange moment, but it's also really sweet.
It is, but it's cute and it's windy and, right. And you know, she's been on the show, and so, and I just love her bowl cut. It's more of a visual than something you'd hear on the podcast, but it's so cute.
It really is, and I really appreciate you pulling it. I just spoke to Wendy 3 days ago. We did a second interview. Because her book is coming out at the end of August.
Okay.
And she's kind enough, she's going to send me an autographed copy to give away to the listeners of Walnut Grovecast. So,
nice.
She's such a cool person. She really is so cool. And her book is really, really amazing. Her book, it's essentially just under 100 entries of, she rewatched the entire series. And it's essentially life lessons that she pulled out of each episode. And then she wrote a personal story about how that life lesson might have applied to a certain thing in her life. And it is so incredible. Like, she and her husband, Josh, like, you feel like you know them by the end of this book. Like, I'm like, hey, it's Josh again, another Josh story, you know? Josh, oh, he's, look at him, he's coaching soccer, you know? And it's just so... It's a real in-depth look into a woman who really went through a lot. I mean, she went through a brain surgery, and she's gone through a lot of struggles. She's about our age, actually. And she's just really, really cool. And she talks about her first car, all that kind of cool stuff. So that's an episode that will probably still actually come out before this, because the Walnut Grove reunion is happening in a week, and I wanted to get that. Week, yeah. I wanted to get this out before, I mean, I wanted to get that one out before that went.
Yeah, because I think she will have the books there for the people going. All right.
Yeah, what's weird is, that's the only place where you can get the books early, by the way, is at the reunion. You cannot order them online. You can just pre-order right now. But, you know, you can pre-order them at, like, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those good places. But I think she's going to have a very good run with the book. It's a very sweet book. All right. So here's that clip. I think it's worth, I totally think it was worth playing, and I think it's very sweet too. I don't know if this is Wendy Lou Lee though. Might be her sister. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
No, you're good. I think I did read somewhere that it is her.
Oh, okay, cool.
That this is her. Yeah.
I don't know the difference of how they look yet.
I don't either.
Yeah.
This is as soon as you eat your breakfast. You can come outside and watch Pa fix the barn roof. Want to do that? Huh? Do you? Okay. It's a good girl. All you gotta do is...
Now, do you remember the band Nelson from the 90s?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, the Ricky Nelson twins.
Yeah,
Yeah. Only then have I seen hair so white.
Oh, I know.
And it's the only reason I'm bringing the, I can't live without the love and affection.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. What was it? Matthew and Gunnar Nelson. And her hair is like platinum. It's like crazy. So here we go. I'm sorry. I keep cutting you off. I'm sorry.
Eat these wonderful eggies I made. You like eggies? You don't like eggies, huh? What about your Dolly? She likes eggies. She ate a lot of eggs this morning, didn't she? Why didn't she eat eggs? Didn't she eat eggs?
The first line.
She stayed home.
She stayed home? Well, you're home.
No, in my house.
Well, it's my house, too. And I ate my eggs this morning. Don't you want some? No. Would you eat them if Mommy asked you to eat them? Why won't you eat them when Pa asks you to? A little bit? No. You don't want them?
How about some toast?
I'll make you toast.
I think this is Michael Landon legitimately riffing with a kid. Right?
Oh, absolutely. There's no script there. Yeah.
It's very sweet. Yeah. And I don't know. I just see like a guy who's just really great with kids. Seriously.
Yes.
He yells up to Albert. I think this is the part to get ready.
Albert?
Yes, sir?
What's taking you so long up there?
I'll be right there.
Well, hurry up. Your mom's sister left for town 10 minutes ago.
I'll catch up. I'm just putting on my socks.
See to it you're not late.
Yes, sir, I won't be.
So we see how Albert's putting on his socks. Do you want to explain exactly what he's doing?
He's spreading charcoal. Is it charcoal or
Is it? You know, like when you have a barbecue
and it's coal dust.
He's just smearing it all over his legs, I guess.
So it looks like he's wearing socks, which, why don't you just wear the socks, Albert?
Yeah, it's like...
I'm not understanding that at all. Maybe you're right. It's really hot out, and he just doesn't want to wear socks.
Oh, man. It is one of the more strange moments. And I don't recall him getting away with it in front of her. Did she go to check him and see it?
He gets away with it.
No, I know that, but do we see a point where there's another inspection? I don't know if I missed that.
No, just that first inspection.
I would have liked to see that second inspection and have her lift up his and go, "Very good, Albert." You know, and like. Right.
But then he has a little smirk on his face, like, got away with it.
Yeah, like you can kind of see it like ending up on the editing room floor or something like that. We got to cut 30 seconds. Boop. Take out the Albert smile. All right. I'm sorry. My thing just decided to completely freak out. All right. So they have their first lesson of fine art, which clearly in 19th century rural America, they don't see the same type of art that Europeans might.
Right.
Now, what they talk about is the art of the Bathers. You know, like the Bathers image, which is essentially, I'm looking it up really fast here. It's a French piece of art. Now, the other piece of art that they referred to is the Rape of the Sabine Women. And I don't know which particular piece they're looking for, but it's a very... There are a lot of different depictions of this, and they're very often very violent, like we're, you know, throwing babies, and, you know, so I'm not really sure what piece of art we are referencing when she talks about that.
Yeah. Just a bad choice, Mrs. Olson.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, we're not ready for this, I think, in WannaCry.
No.
So here we go. This is going to be the response from one of the newer parents who maybe he didn't even join the PTA yet.
Ms. Olson?
Oh, yes, how nice to see you, Mr. Parker.
My boy says you've been showing dirty pictures in here.
Hey, what?
True or not?
Of course not. Why, that's an absolute filthy lie.
You ain't been showing naked ladies?
Mr. Parker, the human body has been the subject of some of our greatest art treasures.
Then you'd be showing them.
Well, we've been studying Renaissance.
What I'd be talking about is ladies with no clothes on.
They're called nudes, Mr. Parker. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong.
I'd be judging if it'd be wrong.
A great line would be, no, they're called boobs.
Yeah. Like you wrote. Boobs.
That's on your notes. It's so funny.
Mr. Parker, I insist.
Mr. Parker's like, I never, land sakes.
Jehoshaphat.
Jehoshaphat.
Great screaming ghost.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. This is a
very... Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to Google those to I see what the heck that means, but I never got a chance
with
to
Jehoshaphat.
The great screaming ghost.
Yeah, I think isn't Jehoshaphat isn't he a ghost? And it's I think all of these are like in reference to like leaping ghosts or something like that. They're getting scared.
Famous painting. It's called The Bathers.
He's sweating.
Would this be called, Miss Olson?
Oh, well, that's it.
What'd it be called?
It'd be called?
It's called The Rape of the Sabine Women.
You can't see that. This is...
Good Lord.
This is 1889... No, 1881 or something
it would,
like that.
It would be, yep.
Weren't they still burning women, like, you know, as witches at this point? No, I'm kidding, but...
Yeah, no. not in this part of the country.
No, no. Well, not that far. You know, a few hundred miles, I guess, northeast of this.
Right. Like, well, right. So what I'd like to know is, did Ralph come home and tell his dad that... They were seeing boobs at school. I mean, I don't know of any boy that would actually tell his pa that.
Well, all right. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I'm going to guess that he's never seen anything like this. You know, Ralph, you know, the most he's seen is the sketches in the catalog, you know, the brassieres. Yeah. So it's like all of a sudden you have this teacher and she's showing all of this stuff that's extremely foreign, and I don't know, maybe it kind of freaked him out a little bit.
Okay, maybe.
I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty extreme for the time. I would think, anyway, I think it's pretty extreme for the time.
Yeah,
so but we're gonna go back to the we're going to have dinner. We're going to bring Ma into the mix finally. And they're kind of talking. We have Laura, Almanzo, Pa, and Ma sitting around the table having coffee and just talking about things. So here we go.
Getting downright spoiled. It's like this most every night.
And this house, it fairly glows.
It sure does.
It's usually such a pigsty.
Right? She's Ma, thanks.
He's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, Ma, do you like our walls?
Right.
Oh, I feel bad for the Ingalls, you know. I just feel like they deserve walls.
Yeah, they definitely deserve an upgrade.
It really is right up there with the Honeymooners. So, you know, where if you watch the Honeymooners, they don't even have curtains. And in the 50s, people used to send them curtains in real life. To put
like send the studio, like the actors' curtains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's well, I think it's a real thing. I don't know for a fact, but it's one of these things where, you know, put up a damn curtain. You know, <it's, laughs> I don't know. I just feel like it can't be that expensive to put up a curtain or a wall for that matter. But
yeah,
right, here we go.
Glass in the windows is so clean you can barely see it when there's nothing reflecting.
Hey, what happens when you run out of things to do?
Guess I'll just have to do them all over again.
I'll have to kill myself.
Oh, she, God, that makes me sad.
She's getting pretty bored. Pretty quickly.
Yeah. How's your garden coming along?
Fine.
It helps keep her busy.
All this talk about me keeping busy. Like, everybody worried about me not feeling useful.
Gee, honey, I don't think any of us meant it that way.
It's all right.
You always teach at the blind school.
We know it's an adjustment for you.
Oh, sure it is. Teaching meant a great deal to you. It took a lot of time.
Guess it did.
There's work at the restaurant.
We just want to know you're happy, that's all.
Yes. You don't have to worry. I know it's a different life, but knowing that I'm a good housewife and a good homemaker, well, it's just...
Laura.
I know that taking care of Manly and taking care of the house should be enough. But it's just not. Without my teaching, I just feel so useless.
Well, it's only going to get worse than in the 20th century, so I don't know. Next right. thing you know, we're going to give you... Next thing you know, are you all going to get the right to vote? Jeez. It's like, guess what? You're allowed to do whatever you want. But no, I can understand. It's like, she loves her career. She loves teaching. And she really hates, you know, sitting at home doing nothing.
Yeah, and I'm the opposite. I would love to just be tending to my house and my garden and cooking meals for my husband. That'd be great.
Now, what would you make? What would be a meal that you would make? Would it be chicken aspic by any chance?
So chicken aspic, what's chicken aspic?
Well, I'm going to get to it when she serves it up, which okay. is, it's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
So, all right, let me go to the next scene. It's just, I was very surprised to hear that that's what she was serving. And I look closer, and in fact, it is. Maybe they got, I don't know, somebody must have made it. But here we are. We have Almanzo, and we have Laura talking about things, and let's listen in.
I love you, too. Go on.
Music is so emotional. I think I went to the wrong clip. I'm sorry. I totally screwed that one up.
Did you? No, I think you just finished that.
Yeah, no, I did. I completely screwed that up. It was supposed to be the French lesson.
Oh, the de trois.
Correct. Yeah. Now, wait, did you say you took French in school or Spanish?
No, we weren't required. I didn't take any foreign language.
Well, but you just pulled off the accent relatively well. You never know. You can always pick it up now.
Well, I got it instilled in my head with Mrs. Olson over and over again.
Yeah, I think she's a halfway decent French teacher. I mean, it's useless, but all right.
Right.
It's like, I don't know when these guys are going to be ordering escargot or... saying charcoal briquette or something.
One of them might break free from Walnut Grove. You never know.
Yeah, and they'll open up like a pommes frites restaurant where they just make French fries all day. Actually, pommes frites is – have you ever had pommes frites?
I've never heard of it.
Oh, they're the best thing in the world. If you like French fries. So
absolutely.
So I'll put a link to something like this in the show notes. But there was this little tiny shop in Manhattan, and it was just – it just said pommes frites. And it was a hole in the wall. Like, there would be a line out the door, and it was like, it was a small store. It was like a fifth of the size of a small store in Manhattan. And all they sold were these kind of double fried French fries. And they would have a ton of different toppings that you can put on them. It's traditional to have mayonnaise and stuff like that with it. But they would have things like a wasabi dressing or cheddar cheese or all of these things, and they're super amazing. So nice. I'm going to put a link to it, and they're more common nowadays, so I bet you can absolutely find them where you are, and or you can even make them yourself. Not that bad, but that's probably the coolest thing that I can think of when it comes to French food.
Are the French fries
French fries? Like from Better Off Dead.
I know. I was trying to do the accent.
Peru.
Front dressing.
It's like, I'm sorry your mom blew up, Ricky. it's turning into a VHS rewind episode.
I know.
I love Better Off Dead. It's one of my favorite Cusack movies.
Right. Me too. Yeah.
Simone. That was her name.
Yeah.
And actually, that woman reminded me so much of Harriet. The
Ricky's
mom.
Ricky's mom.
Yeah. She actually is exactly like Harriet.
Trying to find her son a girlfriend.
Ricky. That guy actually grew up if I'm thinking of it, I think it's Dan Schneider. And
yeah, it is. Yeah. And he's married to the Hungry Girl, if you've ever heard of who the Hungry Girl is.
The Hungry God. Are we talking about the same guy, Dan Schneider? I didn't know Dan Schneider was married.
Yeah, yeah. She does a podcast and she does a TV show. She's I don't know if she's a health nutritionist.
Can a ladybug hurt me? I'm sorry to ask you this. It's
no.
All right, good, because it's flying around. It just scared the hell out of me.
Is it in your house?
It just flew on my monitor. And it showed all these wings. I guess ladybugs have more than one set of wings.
Yes, it's supposed to be good luck.
And I just shined a light and I'm like, oh, it's a ladybug. It can't really do anything to me. But it could be poisonous. I don't know enough about ladybugs.
No, you'll be fine.
Oh, it's good luck. Okay.
Just let her be, yeah.
Squash. No. No. I honestly, if it was a bee or something that could actually hurt me, then I would be probably going, shoo, get out. I try not to kill too many insects.
I'm the same way.
Yeah. It's like live and let live.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Enough of that.
We're all over the place tonight. Okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
To the 1800s.
Yeah, back to 1881. Okay. So here we go. Let's learn some 19th century French.
Okay. Are different sounds than we're used to. Let's have a demonstration of Albert. Levez-vous, s'il vous plaît. That means stand up.
Stand up, Albert.
Levez-vous, s'il vous plaît, Albert. Now repeat after me. Un, deux, trois.
Un, done, trois.
No, done.
Un,
deux, trois.
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 Un, deux, trois.
Willie, how dare you? In the corner.
But he was pulling my hair.
Ralph, is that true?
What do I want to do a thing like that for?
Nailed it. So you got Willie into the corner. That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, the class is just really upset. You know, it's like they really don't want to have to do this anymore. And it seems as though Ralph doesn't really offer too much to the story except for having a father kind of show up and say, like, don't show my kid boobs. Even though it didn't really stop him from showing up at school the next day.
Yeah, he's just a troublemaker.
Yeah, I think so.
Most of those guest star kids are.
Yeah. They're definitely there to bully and then leave.
Yeah.
So Albert goes to Laura and says, you know, I wish you were back, you know, teaching. We really miss you. And wish you would stop tilling the soil and just kind of come back. And Laura's basically saying there's no way. And she misses them as well. But Albert gives her a little bit of a hint as to what is coming. And in the future, Laura will lie about this, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, you caught that too then.
I sure did.
Yeah. All right, we have the same radar.
Well, I've got, and I'm determined to make it work.
The man from the States coming back tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, if he doesn't like what he sees, we aren't going to get any state funds. And if we don't get any state funds...
Albert, are you trying to say something?
No, just if he doesn't like the job Miss Olsen's done, we don't get the money. I don't think she's going to want to stay on.
You're up to something, aren't you?
Me? Like what?
I was just asking.
You wouldn't mind if Miss Olsen quit and you said so yourself.
Yes, I did.
And you just never know about those things, that's all. I gotta go. I'll see you later.
This is how people die. This is how people get killed. You said yourself you wouldn't mind.
Right.
So, yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Right. And she knows better. She knows Albert's scheming ways.
Yeah, she should have immediately gone to Pa or something. Or, you know, did what Laura normally does and basically speak up. But she doesn't. Instead, she goes to the kitchen and she makes up a meal. Which I just want to get exactly here. So it's a nice candlelight meal that she's making for Almanzo. And it's just kind of interesting. So here we go.
Albert gets a certain look in his eye when he's up to something, and he had that look. Mm-hmm. Besides, I think it'd be a good idea if I was there and Mr. Stoller arrived.
What's this?
It's a special treat.
Chicken.
Not just chicken. It's lemon chicken. Try it. You'll love it.
Now, it's not lemon chicken. You've had lemon chicken, I'm sure. This is not lemon chicken. This is shredded chicken, usually. And it's basically gelatin on top of it. A flavored type of gelatin, maybe lemon gelatin. And it's in a mold, and you get a slice of it. So it's like those like 1960s type of meals in Jell-O.
Now, right, yeah. I've had it at a Chinese restaurant before, but I've never...
Oh, okay.
It
can be tasty, but it can also be bitter if you don't do it right. And I'm going to guess that that's what we're kind of leaning to here. And the food, I don't know, this is traditionally a very Jewish food made with fish gelatin, because the gelatin they're using is probably pork gelatin. So I don't know. It's just kind of weird to have made something. It's called chicken aspic. I can put a link to the recipe in the show notes and a picture of it. But it's kind of like gefilte fish. Have you ever had gefilte fish?
No, I've never even heard of it.
Gefilte fish is another traditionally Jewish fish, and it's very good. But it's usually encased in kind of a gelatin. And a lot of people are really turned off by the way it looks and the name gefilte, because they think it's the filter fish, but it's not. It's a very high-quality fish. And what you do is you would take a slice of gefilte fish with a bit of horseradish and carrot, and it's very good, actually. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But
all right, so what is chicken aspic?
It's basically chicken with the gelatin.
Oh, okay.
With like lemon gelatin and the herbs.
But what is all this stuff sticking to it here?
That's called aspic.
Oh. Cold.
Of course it is, silly. I had it on ice all day. It's supposed to be that way. Whoa. It's a nice change in the hot summer weather. There's potato salad if you want some.
What's all this stuff? What are all these speckles on this here?
something nobody wants to hear about their food, right?
It's like,
what's all these speckles? And she just looks like you just said the wrong thing.
Right, she's been slaving away all day.
I'm going to imagine that it's hard to make now. It was probably impossible to make then.
Oh, I'm sure.
On ice. I mean, anything on ice, come on.
It's called tarragon. It's an herb.
That's what I'm tasting, huh?
Manly, this is a very special dish. It took all day to prepare.
I'm sorry, honey. It just doesn't taste good to me. Maybe if I take the skin off, it'll help.
When he says the skin, he's talking about the entire layer of gelatin that's on top.
Right, okay.
And it was like, oh, geez.
Honey, I said I'm sorry.
This is a great line.
Yep.
I liked her cinnamon chicken better.
Now, she does make good cinnamon chicken, supposedly. So I wonder. Is that a reference to the Nelly, or is that a reference
that
to real life?
That is a reference to, when she puts the cayenne pepper in the cinnamon chicken.
It's pretty odd. I think the episode definitely needed this type of comic relief as well.
Yeah.
We like these moments with Almanzo. I'm still trying to say Almanzo. I want to say Almanzo, but...
I've noticed that you've changed over.
Well, Dean Butler flat out said that it's pronounced that way. Everybody I speak to says... pronounced Almanzo.
Right.
And manly, you know, when you say manly, it makes sense, I guess. It's just...
I think it's okay if a woman says manly.
Yeah.
But it sounds silly when a guy calls a manly.
Yeah, it's a little bit questionable. So Laura's feeling guilty about things. This is a little bit of a long clip. I'm going to play it. I think that it's worth kind of seeing kind of the turmoil that a woman in the 19th century might be going through during a period of time like this. I think that's kind of like, I'm kind of glossing over that part, but she's really not feeling needed. And if there's one thing we know about the character of Laura is that she needs to be needed.
Right. Yeah.
You know what? I finished all my chicken. I just had to get used to that.
Tarragon.
Yeah, tarragon. I ate the skin and everything. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you mad at me. I just have to get used to eating stuff with weeds on it.
They're not weeds, they're herbs. Besides, I'm not angry about that.
What then?
I'm angry at myself.
Why?
Because I know that the children are going to do something to embarrass Mrs. Olson tomorrow.
Why should you be angry with yourself about that?
Because I want them to. I want them to embarrass her in front of Mr. Stoller so that she'll quit.
I see. You really want the teaching job back, don't you?
I do. Oh, Manly, I really do.
Well, maybe you'll get your wish. I'm going to put the lamps out downstairs.
Now, I heard there was a deleted scene here where he goes downstairs and he sees Albert. And he says to Albert, all systems go.
Go!
And it just got chopped. I don't know. It's right there with the scene where Harriet goes to inspect the leg and he just smiles.
Right. Just wasn't enough time.
No, come on. You have to sell commercials here.
I feel Laura's dilemma though. I mean, she thinks she deserves to have her job back. At the same time, the only way she can get it is to be vindictive, which that's more Harriet style than hers.
But here she comes swooping in to be the hero.
Oh, yeah, quote unquote.
And, you know, basically the class looks like there's a substitute teacher, right? It's right, yeah. Everyone's going nuts, you know, like it is chaos.
I'm ashamed of each and every one of you who was involved in this. Especially you, Albert Ingalls.
Even you students that weren't here in the beginning of the episode.
there's a lot of kids in that class all of a sudden.
There's one that looks a little taller than Laura. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah, I do see that kid.
There's like no consistency going on here.
Sorry.
What I don't understand is why...
Yeah, I do want to mention that I have an upcoming interview to release with a woman named Charlotte Yerk. And Charlotte worked on Little House on the Prairie, and she was script coordinator. And it was her job to actually work on the consistency of episodes and everything. So I don't want it to seem like I'm making a slight towards her. You know, it's just, I don't know. I doubt people even, you know, I don't know. Maybe she listens to the show, but... But, you know, she explained how difficult it really was to keep the consistency and the flow going.
Right. And back then, they didn't know that we would have it streaming on TV. God. We were watching it all the time, every day.
That we'd have a website dedicated.
Yeah.
A website dedicated to goofs, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
They wanted to embarrass you in front of Mr. Stoller.
What for?
So that you'd lose the grant and be forced to resign. And so that they could have back a teacher who wouldn't force them to learn French and follow a dress code. Isn't that right, Albert?
Isn't that right, Albert?
I apologize, Mrs. Olson.
Yes.
I should have seen this coming.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't it? It's all up. Come on, Albert. You know, blame the orphan. Poor kid. Poor Albert. So basically, Laura has essentially agreed to come back, essentially. But I think the speech from, I forget his name, the Board of Education gentleman.
Yeah, Mr. Mr. Stoller.
Is that it? Yeah, it sounds right. Yeah. He comes to reevaluate the class, and I just want to play that clip because I'm very impressed with, if I'm just looking at this as a real life scenario, Harriet was able to teach these kids French on some level, very basic stuff, but there's not anything on the board and they're just reciting it. So here we go.
Now, avez-vous votre parapluie blue?
No, je n'ai pas mon parapluie.
Excellent, children, excellent. Now, I want you to study pages 26 through 30, because tomorrow we're going to have a test. Class dismissed.
Now, that's pretty good for, let's see, what, 2 weeks?
I don't know. Pretty impressive, yeah.
Yeah, more than I know.
That was very impressive, Mrs. Olson.
Oh, my. Thank you. Yeah.
Why is Nels there? Like, you own the mercantile. You have right? no Who's right being here.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense whatsoever why he would be there. You don't see, like, Almanzo sitting there in the corner going, right, do it, Beth.
That is funny. I never realized that.
Yeah, I guess because he's the I think Nels is always considered to be the elder of the town, maybe. Not the elder, but I mean the business person, the most level-headed of all.
Right. He greets everybody at the stagecoach.
Secret drinker and on the side.
Oh God, he's got to be.
No, he does. We've seen him a bunch of times at this point. This is something I want to start in the futures. What episodes have alcohol use in them? Because there's so much more alcohol use on Little House on the Prairie than I recall when I was a kid.
So, here we go. Indeed. Very impressive.
Oh.
I'm recommending the grant be approved.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That is very good news. Oh. However, I do have a recommendation.
Oh, yes.
Some of the expanded curriculum I discussed with you that other schools in the state utilize, well, they generally have a practical application relating to the region. Mm-hmm. However, art appreciation is universally useful.
Oh, yes.
But say, in metropolitan areas, engineering is often taught.
Yeah.
Industrial design is also becoming very popular.
Oh.
And as to languages, well, I mentioned French only because in our border communities to the north, people do indeed encounter a number of French-speaking Canadians.
Yes.
So therefore, it's a very practical thing to know.
Uh-huh.
But in this part of the state, who would have a use for it?
And he has an excellent point, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we need to drop those fancy classes.
Right. Now. Teach them English. So we have Laura, the kids stop by Laura's, and you refer to it as a homestead. I guess it is a homestead, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing it is.
Is there a difference between a homestead and a farm? I wonder.
That I don't know.
Yeah, me either. I refer.
I mean, more Little House on the Prairie, like.
I know. I always think of a homestead as the modern definition, anyways, a self-sufficient area. But anyway, I guess it's not important. But here we go. The kids stop by Laura to have a little bit of a chat. Laura, of course, has a lovely dress on while she's doing housework. Her hair's up in a bun the whole time.
Yeah, she looks great.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, you know what, Laura, I do want to mention, Laura looks great in this episode. You know, this is Melissa Gilbert probably being, what, 19 or something?
Yeah, she doesn't look like the child Laura Ingalls.
Except when she yells. When she yells, her voice gets shrill, and I think people like that, though. I think that it reminded them of the old Laura.
Yeah.
Say that.
Whoops. Maybe we...
Ralph, he's new.
I remember seeing Ralph.
Guess you're still pretty mad, huh?
You could say that.
Maybe we were wrong.
Maybe.
All right, we were wrong. But we only did it because we wanted you back so bad. That's got to count for something.
Sure, everybody's always saying how much fun it was with you teaching.
And I wound up in the corner just as much, even if it wasn't my fault.
I suppose I should appreciate your compliments. I accept your apology. It was very nice of you all to come out here to make it. Thank you.
That's not the only reason we came, Miss Wilder.
It isn't.
Miss Olsen says she'll give up the job if you come back.
And you could run the school any way you want.
Please, Miss Wilder.
All right, I'll come back on one condition.
What?
What?
That you all agree to give up this silly dress code.
Yeah! And who's the guy with the big perm? Did you see that guy?
No, I
didn't. There's a guy all the way in the back. He was not in the original part of the episode. I mean, the beginning of part of the episode, but he was in the classroom this, you know, turn, you know, with the French lessons. I don't know who this kid is, but he's got a big kind of curly fro.
1970s perm.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not cutting my hair. My uncle is the producer, you know, that type of thing.
Right, yeah. Rewinding it to that part, I kind of went a little forward here.
Oh, yeah, if you go to 44 minutes in, you'll see him in the background. Or actually,
Okay, I'm at 43.
43:56 exactly is perfect.
All right.
I'd like to know.
He's got like a great thing going on.
Yeah, it's exactly it. It's even
Michael there he Poole. Is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's kind of like that light brown curly haircut thing going on. It's kind of funny. Yeah. So we have Laura back. She's ready to talk about how good her vision is. And poor Ralph is going to be, I don't know. He's going, you know what? I do like the end of this scene, though. I like the shot of Willie. Because it's
Willie.
Almost like...
finally.
His enlightened moment where he's thinking... Wow, I'm not the bad kid anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's a little bit sweet, but here we go.
Believe me.
Ouch! Willie.
It wasn't my fault, Miss Wilder. It was...
Willie.
Honest, you gotta believe me.
Willie, would you just let me say something, please? Now, I do believe you.
You do?
Ralph, would you please stand in the corner?
Me? What did I do?
You were pulling Willie's hair. We don't do that here.
I wasn't.
Ralph, have you ever heard of peripheral vision?
No.
Well, I have it. It means that I can see out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah, we all have it.
And I saw you pull Willie's...
What?
Yeah, we all have. I just never knew what it was when I was a kid until I saw this episode.
That's good.
Like, though. Oh, I got that too.
I'm like, Laura.
Hair. Now, you want to sit there and argue about it, or do you want to stand in the corner and get it over with?
Get a room, you two. But what are they, like 6 months apart in age? It's just ridiculous. But yeah, I think it is very sweet. Again, we have a lot of kids that we've never seen before in the classroom. We have Carrie, of course, who's always sitting
there. Yeah, Carrie's there. Did not say a word through the whole episode.
Yeah. Now, where Willie and Nellie used to sit, those kids were not in the episode. The kid looks like, if you ever watched the 1970s TV show Shazam, this guy has a hair helmet like that. The one sitting in front of Albert. But yeah, it's just, I always think it's so weird how they rotate this. They have just an ever-changing crop of kids that they rotate.
I know, and some of those kids, they really fight for, you know, like Elmer, he's class president. Where is he now?
Assassinated. Well, Leah, I want to thank you so much for coming on and doing another episode. Hopefully you'll consider coming on again and again. I think it's a lot of fun, and I like these newer episodes. I refer to them as newer, but even though they're over 30 years old.
Oh, and oh,
40 yeah. years old. What am I?
Four. Yeah, I was going to say 40. Yeah, 1970s. Yeah.
Almost 40. It's like, but I think they, I still feel as though they do hold up, and they're refreshing to watch because of how different they really are than those earlier episodes. I mean, you would never in a million years have a season one of Little House on the Prairie talk about nudes and, you know, and you know, French depictions of rape. You know, it's really the show has gone to such a different place to this point where mm-hmm. things have really, really changed. But I like the fact that the show's matured and changed with the times. It's the 80s, yeah. after all.
It's the 80s, yeah.
Come on, don't be such a square. It's the 80s now.
The 1880s.
You ever watch, yeah, exactly. You ever watch Boogie Nights?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I saw that movie.
Well, you know, they're doing the countdown to the, it's like 79 to 80. And it's kind of like, 1980 is going to be so awesome. You know, it's like so futuristic. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, Little House on the Prairie is, you know, it should have been on in the background while they were doing that. Anyway. Right. Again, Leah, I really appreciate you coming on and checking things out and talking to me about this episode. You can find Leah on Facebook in the Wanagrove Cast. Facebook group, and right. you can say hi to her. No harassment, please.
I love it.
Don't bother her without my permission. No.
I'll take some constructive criticism. No. I'm fine with that.
No. I'm the one who gets the hate mail. Everybody has opinions about me. Me! Talk about me.
Oh, you love it.
I always tell people, if they have a nasty thing to say about me, to just write it down on a piece of paper, fold it up, put it in the garbage. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting WannaGrovecast by heading over to patreon.com/WannaGrovecast. Any support is appreciated.